from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Okay, so all this talk about TV rights. NBC, apparently, you were saying at the break, is bidding.
Yeah, the report yesterday is $2.5 billion a season. A season.
So does that mean the salary cap would, like, skyrocket?
Could triple. Yeah, because I think that...
Over the lifetime of the deal?
No, because most people think that the new television deal is going to... like double or even triple. And so, since the players get 50% right. of basketball or 51%, whatever it is, a basketball related income, they're going to get that. That will push the salary cap up that much. So yeah, it could easily go up. It could easily be well over 200 million in like 2 or 3 seasons. Yeah. This is going to get wild.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Man.
So players like De'Aaron Fox are probably going to wait around and say, hey, yeah. I want to see what the dollar looks like, because $80 million a year sounds good to him. but also guys like Sabonis, his contract that looks, you know, large right now, yeah. which is like close to 30% of the cap, mm-hmm. it could drop to like 18% of the cap or 16% of the cap.
Man.
Yeah, so like we're talking crazy money, and good for the players. Good for everybody.
Yeah.
Because if you're making, the players are making 51%, that means that the owners are making 49%.
And good for us, because do you know what NBC having the NBA rights would mean?
Oh yeah, let's hear it. Round ball rock.
Come on. I don't know if we're going to get in trouble on the stream for this. I hope not. Basketball's going to be dunk it.
John Tesh.
I need it in my life.
That's
I need
right.
it in my life so bad.
Amazing.
Can we get Bob Costas on the calls? I'm joking. I'm joking. That'd be incredible. No, I would love to see that for the NBA. Would love to have the NBA on NBC back.
Yeah.
It'd be amazing. Seeing the salary cap and player salaries skyrocket as a result would be incredible. All of that kind of fits into what we're going to talk about, though.
Yeah.
In how the Kings build this thing moving forward. Because for me, there's the biggest what's the word I'm looking for?
Obstacle.
The biggest problem for me is where the Kings are at team building wise, with the age of their 2 stars, what they need to get that core, their Keegan Murray, De'Aaron Fox, mm-hmm. Domantas Sabonis core, getting that team up to a championship level. And then you look at Oklahoma City, and you look at Minnesota, and you look at Denver, and if you want, you can look at Dallas. Even if you want, I guess Houston. I'm going to leave Houston out of this. I'm going to leave Dallas out of it as well. Just those 3 teams. Conceivably, they're going to be around.
Yeah.
So not only do the Kings have this hurdle of, okay, in the next, because you have what? I don't know, players age a little differently now, but what, 3 years of, 3-4 years of prime Fox and Sabonis left?
Oh, no.
Five?
I'd say six.
Six?
Yeah, because Sabonis is 27 going on 28.
Turns 28 in like 8 days, right?
Okay, so we got 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33. I think 6 years.
Okay.
I mean, he's not an above the rim player, so
sure.
I think he'll be able to hold up and even maybe 3 years after that be a reasonably impactful player.
Sure.
You know, like better than like the impact that we're seeing from maybe like an Al Horford.
Yeah.
Like 34, 35, 36.
Sure. Al Horford with his weird ass jump shot.
That goes in.
Every single time Al Horford shoots, I'm like, good possession, good defensive possession, and then he cashes it.
Yeah.
Every time. It's outrageous. So that's kind of what I look at as, okay, this is the timeline they're working with. This isn't a team full of 21 and 22-year-olds.
Nope.
So there's a little bit of urgency here.
Well, there should be.
And my question is at what point do you say, screw this methodic build? Because I think when you're trying to compare the Kings and Nuggets, that to me is where the more direct comparison is going to lie. Because trying to match what the Nuggets are doing player for player is going to be really, really tough.
Of course.
Aaron Gordon is very unique, I think, in what he does. Nikola Jokic, very, very unique in what he does. Jamal Murray is whatever Jamal Murray is.
Yeah.
really good player, but excellent playoff player. Like, matching a player for player is really tough. So I think what the Kings can do here is you add this really methodical build by the Nuggets, and you add these early playoff exits, but they're winning 45-plus games every single year, and they're going to the playoffs. They win in a series, maybe two, and then everything kind of peaked for them. But they have this rock-solid starting five that they know and love, and then they're going to supplement those guys with your Christian Browns,
Yeah.
With your
Kentavious Caldwell Popes
and Watkins, your Reggie Jacksons.
Peyton Watson.
Yeah.
Peyton Watson.
So you can just kind of supplement these guys. So when you lose a Jeff Green, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
Right. So that's the way I think the Kings can follow the Nuggets path, is finding that rock solid starting five that, you know, hey, 5-point game late, 5 minutes left, down five, you know that the offensive execution is going to be there. You have a defensive foundation you believe in to get stops, and you just become that kind of inevitable machine that we have talked about time and time again.
Mm-hmm.
My concern is that's really hard to do in 5 or 6 years, given what the Kings have to work with.
Okay, so I think a couple of things. Number one, like, the Kings have options to build, right?
Okay.
Like, we want to say, they're limited in what they can do. And, I mean, maybe there's a little bit of limitations on a team like the Kings. But at the same time, I think they do have pieces that are movable. And the new CBA that's, like, fully going into effect, like, this summer, it has all kinds of rule changes that are different than the previous CBAs. And most of those rules are extremely advantageous to a team like the Kings. And it's not like it was written for the Kings, but it almost like maybe it was, right?
Mm.
So there's a couple of rules like your exceptions, your mid-level exception, your biannual exception. So your mid-level exception this year is a little over $12.8 million. And it can be for up to 4 years, right? So the mid-level exception, you can sign a player for that. You can break it up into multiple players. But the new CBA also allows you to do something wild and crazy. You can actually trade using that as basically almost like a trade exception. So as long as a player's contract fits into the years of the mid-level exception, which is up to 4 years, you can take on a player. It can't go over. You can't aggregate. So that means you can't add
two-year contracts into a four-year.
Well, no, what I mean is you can't trade a player and a mid-level exception and come up with some larger figure.
Mm.
But let's say a player like Jared Vanderbilt, right? Jared Vanderbilt signed a deal that I think next year he makes $11 million, or maybe 10.7, and he's under contract for 4 years. the Kings can literally go to the Lakers and say, hey, we'll take on Vanderbilt and give you for the mid-level exception. We'll accept him into our mid-level. And so you can actually trade for a player into your mid-level exception, which has never been the case.
Right. You used to have to sign a player.
You used to have to sign a player. So you can do both now. You can either sign or you can just trade a player into it. So that's huge because a team like the Kings, who have always had problems finding free agents, now have this other option like, hey, this player, number one, he had injury issues. Number two, he didn't really work out for you. Would you like to get rid of him and like open up salary for yourself? And the Lakers might say, yeah, okay, maybe we'll do that for a second round pick. Okay. And then you bring in a young, like 25-year-old, like 6'9", long wingspan, defensive minded power forward that maybe could really help your team. Right. But there's also, you know, around the, just look around the league and there are players that fit into this mold that are not break the bank guys. They're not 30 or 40 million. They're not 50 million. They're not even like 17, 18, like the Harrison Barnes or the Kevin Herters of the world. They fit into this different mold. So again, like I don't know that, Milwaukee is going to move on from Bobby Portis, but Bobby Portis might be the most perfect fit for the Sacramento Kings we've ever seen at the power forward position, playing next to Domantas Sabonis. He can block shots. He can rebound. He can hit the three ball, and he doesn't mind punching somebody in the face.
Yeah, he's a dog.
He is a dog. He's a little, he can be a little screw loose crazy, but at the same time,
sure.
Like, why not? So if you're the Kings, you can make sort of these moves that, that you couldn't make before. The same thing with the, go ahead.
And I think one of the things that you immediately think is, well, why would a team do that? Why would Milwaukee do that? Why would the Lakers do that? And it's because now it's even more expensive to have an expensive team.
Yes.
With the way
the new CBA
is set up.
Yeah. So if you have your first apron and then you have your second apron, if you're a repeat offender on the second apron,
you start losing draft picks.
They freeze your draft picks.
Yes.
You don't get your draft picks. Great.
So if you're a team like the Lakers, like the Warriors,
yeah,
where you have these very expensive contracts or these very expensive rosters.
Yes.
And you're looking and you're going, this is maybe a first round playoff team. It's definitely not a championship contender.
Yep.
You're going to be looking to offload some money.
No, totally. I think there's a lot of teams around the league that are going to be looking to offload some money. And typically the only one that can take on that money is, like, realistically, it's always Oklahoma City Thunder who take your first round pick and they take your player and they save you money.
Yeah.
Right. Well, now there's going to be more teams because anyone who's under the luxury tax has the MLE, the mid-level exception, to work with. Now the Kings also have what's called the biannual exception, which is a shorter one. It's a lower dollar one. I think it's 4.5, 4.6 million bucks. But again, as long as the biannual exception can only be for 2 years, so you can trade for a player who's making $4 million but has 2 years left on his deal and move off of that contract, the Kings could accept a player like that. So on top of that, there's all of the new rules for like how much money you can take back in a trade. So now any player, I think it's under $10 million, you double their salary. You can double their salary in return. So the Kings can trade a $6 million player,
Chris Duarte,
for up to a $12 million contract. Okay? Now, but this you can aggregate. So let's say that you have two $6 million players.
Let's just say Chris Duarte and Davion Mitchell.
Just make up players, right? So you have $12 million in salary cap space, in salary right there. You can trade for up to $24 million in salary. So that's huge.
Yes.
On top of that, players who are making over $10 million, like there's a window way up higher.
I'm gonna make up a player while you're talking.
Okay. Let's say someone makes $17 or $18 million a year,
and let's name that player Harrison Barnes.
Okay.
Just give him two last names.
Just two last names. Okay. A player like that,
sure.
The new CBA rules allow for you, it used to be 20 or 25% of their contract, you could go up or down, right? So
if you had a
$20 million player, you could take up to a $25 million player back.
Okay.
The league has stripped that down and said, hey, any player over X amount of dollars, over $10 million in trade, you can take up to $10 million more than their salary back.
So in a $17 million deal, you could take back $27 million.
Yes.
Okay.
And then let's just say...
Now, does that aggregate where if you have... Yes. I'm going to pick another. Just like...
A $6 million.
Let's call him... No, well, let's... I was going to say another player in that $17 million range. Let's call him Kevin Huerter.
Okay.
Let's just picking names. Can you then... You're now combining those two, so now you're at $34 million.
Yep.
You can take back $44 million?
Yes. No. More.
It's $10 million on each.
$10 million over on each.
So $54 million?
Yeah. So like, look, there are these avenues. So there's conceivably a way, Kyle. Like, there is conceivably a way where you could trade two $6 million players
mm-hmm.
to a team for a $24 million player. And then in that same breath, you could take another contract that they're trying to move off of, like a $13 million player mm-hmm. into your mid-level. And so basically you could trade $12 million and come away with $34, $35 million in contract back. Now look, you still have to live in the same world they do.
Mm-hmm.
So what you can't do is do all of that and think that you're going to be okay salary cap wise.
Right, right.
But you can save another team tens of millions of dollars in luxury tax. Mm-hmm. Again, like the Golden State Warriors paid, they were going to be on the hook for $186 million in luxury tax.
Just in luxury tax.
And then someone took on Corey Joseph's like $3 million deal, and that saved them like $18 million or something.
It was so much money.
It was so much money. And that's what we're talking about. What they're trying to do, the NBA is trying to balance out all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's good. Like the Kings aren't hamstrung. Like they can go out here and make moves mm-hmm. and player contracts actually look more valuable at this point. So mm-hmm. again, we're talking about players like Huerter or Harrison Barnes. Like they're 12, 13% of the salary cap.
Mm-hmm.
They're not some obscene number.
Right.
I know people look at that number and say, oh my gosh, I can't believe he makes $17 million. It's $17 million with the salary cap at $141 million. It's not $17 million when the salary cap is at $58 million when I first started covering the league in 2010.
Right.
Like the minimum you could spend was $58 million. And that's what the Maloofs would trade for injured guys to get to $58
million right.
and live at that range. The money is crazy now.
Sure.
And so $5 million players, like the old mid-level exception player, they might be the $12 million player, but it's really they're closer to like this other number, this mm-hmm. $17, $18 million player mm-hmm. that used to be what would be considered, like when the Kings signed Sharif Abdul-Rahim,
mm-hmm.
that was for like a, I think they gave him a five-year, $25 million deal,
mm-hmm.
$5 million a year. That's when the cap is, you know, at $58 million. It's roughly 12% of the cap.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing. It's just now the players are making so much money because of television deals and all this other stuff. So I think it's interesting. I think it's just giving the Kings more ways in which they can go out and help themselves in a market.
And it increases the value because one of the things I was skeptical of was the value that Kevin Huerter and Harrison Barnes would have on the trade market. Not to say that a team wouldn't like to have a veteran like Harrison Barnes who can play multiple positions, he can knock down a three.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Huerter, of course, when he's rolling, is one of the deadliest three-point shooters in the league. Even after a down year, there would be teams that are willing to take that on, but it's like, for what? What are the Kings going to get back? But now, with this, where it's saving a team money, those players are good enough, Harrison Barnes and Kevin Huerter specifically,
mm-hmm.
that a team that is in cap hell could talk themselves into, okay, we're going to get off this big contract, but we can remain competitive because this is a rotation player. This is a starting caliber player. This is a I think there are a ton of teams out there who are going to be able to talk themselves into that kind of deal where, yeah, hey, we're saving money, but also it's not like we're taking back nothing.
Well, that and I think it also, if you start aggregating these salaries, right, you start adding up, like you take a $6 million and a $17 million, and all of a sudden you can take back like 39 million?
Yeah.
For like $23 million in salary. That means that the other team, number one, they're not having to take back like six players to make a deal like that.
Mm-hmm.
That which is even last season. Like we were talking about, how do you get to the money for a guy like Pascal Siakam?
Yeah.
Well, it's very complicated.
A lot of dudes.
Yeah, it would have taken at least, well, it could have taken two of your starters, or it could take now, it could take one of those starters and one of your $6 million range guys.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of an interesting thing where I think that there's a lot of like movement here, and there could be a lot of movement here in this offseason. But also, you can move off of a player who just might not be fitting what you're doing. And the fact that the Kings have $6 million players that can be traded for $12 million players, and those $6 million players are on expiring contracts, and you can take back, you know, long-term deals on those, that might really be like appealing to somebody out there on the open market. The other thing is, I know we've like talked about the 13th pick in the draft like so much, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how like the Kings were probably better off if that pick went to Atlanta. That's true, most likely, because this isn't a great draft. But this isn't a great draft at the top. And so just going to put it out there, like the 13th pick in this year's draft is very similar to any other draft. Like there are really good players in the 10 to 20 range in this draft, just like there are every single year. Like there just aren't, there isn't a like bona fide star, bona fide number one pick at the top. Mm-hmm. And maybe the top 10 is a little sketch, right? But there's still going to be teams that fall in love with a player. It happens every year, right?
Every single year.
Yeah. And so we always talk about this like, hey man, would the Kings, what do they have to trade, right? If they don't have their draft picks. And I think the argument could be made that the 13th pick in the draft is better than offering up, like, your, if you wouldn't have had it, it would be better than offering up, like, a 2025 pick that could be in the 20s.
Sure.
Because, like, if you're able to make some moves and get better, this team very easily could be right back where they were last year, where they're the 24th pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And so people are looking like, well, your pick isn't really that good.
Sure.
Like, so now what you have to offer is a lottery pick, which is good. I mean, some team could go, okay, like, look, I'll take that lottery pick.
Especially a team that's looking to shed salary and get cheaper.
Yeah. Well, that in this year's draft, again, there are going to be some teams that are like, I don't want to trade into the first round. I'm good. But there are going to be other teams who are like, no, but there's a player I want right there at number 13, and I would take him. So I don't think you're totally hamstrung. I think you can trade that pick. I think you can trade it for another future first-round pick. And let's say you pick up a 2026 first-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then the Stepien rule no longer applies to some of your other draft picks.
Right.
So you can trade your 27. You can trade your 29. Like all of these things kind of like they work together. As long as you have a pick in a draft, then you don't have to worry about the Stepien rule. So like I think that the Kings, we want to act like it's all doom and gloom. But realistically, there are plenty of ways for this team to reinvent themselves during this offseason. And some of that could mean like you trade a couple of players that like maybe didn't work out. But there's also this other thing that we talk about all the time on here, where how much different would Kevin Huerter look next to, again, a guy like Keon Ellis and a guy like Jared Vanderbilt coming off the bench? Like if you can mask,
take some of the defensive onus off of it.
Yeah, if you can mask some of the deficiencies, the defensive deficiencies of a player, and let him get back to focusing on being a three-point shooter and sort of that aspect of his game, like maybe it does work. Maybe you can fortify different positions on this team and make individual players better, because we saw it with Keon Ellis in the starting lineup. All of a sudden, the Kings weren't a bad defensive team anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You had one player swapped out. Now, what if you support the other players in a different way and you bring in the players that maybe you should have brought in before, but now you're looking at it like with eyes open, like, okay, I know I have to fill this, this, and this. Now, let me have like six players out there that I think would fill this void and this void, and see if I can go get one of those players using all of these mechanisms that we have in place now in the CBA.
All right. Party on.
I don't know. I think
I just want to go on record right now. I'm out on Jared Vanderbilt.
Okay,
I'm just out.
That's fine.
I know that was just a name that you just pulled out, but
yeah,
I'm out on Jared Vanderbilt.
Well, and I'll tell you like one of the reasons why I would be sort of in on Jared Vanderbilt. Number one, he's 25.
Sure.
And he has had injury issues this year.
Yeah.
But he's long, he's athletic, he's defensive-minded, multi-positional defender. Mm-hmm. He's developing as like a shooter and stuff like that. But
he's an offensive liability.
He is, but on a team that only needs someone in the dunker spot, I don't know that that's that big of a deal.
Good point.
And then on top of that, like, he's very, very close with De'Aaron Fox.
Mm.
So, like, they're Houston guys.
Is that the new team-building strategy?
Well,
worked with Malik Monk.
Yeah, it did.
He's just going to maximize De'Aaron Fox's buddies when he pulls up?
Yeah, that's right.
I'm in. Why not?
It seems like De'Aaron Fox's buddies know how to play basketball better than LeBron James's buddies. So, I'm in.
Yeah, you know what? Good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point. All right.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.